Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And it's very confusing because there's this ceasefire in, in effect, but people are still shooting at each other. So I don't know really what is going on. We needed to try and get some information or more information about it. Dr. Tal Mimran is an associate professor at the Tzfat Academy College and academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of Hebrew University. Dr. Tal Mimran, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and I agree, brilliant music.
It is. It's a little bit Instagram-ish, but it's fine. We'll take it. We'll definitely take it. So just help us understand this. The ceasefire, is it a ceasefire in words or is it a ceasefire in reality?
So the agreement, to begin with, raises several important questions. One of the main ones is, who are the parties to the agreement? Because the ceasefire or the hostilities took place between Hezbollah and Israel and the IDF. But the agreement is between Israel and Lebanon. Ah. Hezbollah is not a party to this agreement. So in fact, Lebanon, by signing the agreement, is signaling to Israel that it is willing to reassert its sovereignty over southern Lebanon. And at the end of the day, the meaning of sovereignty or the meaning of being a state is underlined by one main issue, which is the monopoly on the use of force. So the ceasefire agreement was an attempt to allow Lebanon to return as a country, as a nation, to South Lebanon, to assert its authority there, and to make sure that, as stated in Security Council Resolution 1701, there will be no military forces below the Litani or between the Litani and the border of Israel, other than the personnel of the Lebanese army. So this is the starting point of discussion. But the question is, can Lebanon enforce the agreement? And so far, it seems that the answer is negative. And Israel, indeed, is also taking actions in Lebanon. But so far, from what we know from public knowledge, it seems that Israel is more responding than initiating. And it is also evident that Israel is limiting itself in the extent of response. So the response for yesterday's attack on the Hardov camp could have been much more significant. But it was not. It was very proportional, very tailored-made. Reply. And in my view, Israel wants to maintain the ceasefire at the moment.
Right.
But this is definitely not a basis for the long run.
Right.
Israel and Lebanon should strive to find a way to reach peace in between themselves, to find a way to become good neighbors, to work together. Israel can help Lebanon to reestablish its economy, its military, to promote technology and other spheres of life in Lebanon. And something more than this ceasefire agreement is needed for that. And I think that this is what we need to aspire to. Currently, right, it seems like a technical, tactical stop that works for both sides. But for the long run, I'm not very hopeful that this ceasefire agreement will last.
The relationship between Hezbollah and Lebanon, obviously a very difficult one, because Hezbollah has effectively, or in effect, infiltrated almost every aspect of the Lebanese government, society, weakened Lebanon tremendously. The fact that over the last couple of months, Israel has managed to inflict such significant damage on the Hezbollah leadership, as well as their armed forces, does that give Lebanon a greater strength to deal with Hezbollah? And if so, do they have the desire to actually do so?
That's a very interesting question. So first, it should be noted that Hezbollah is very unique, because usually you have terrorists or terror groups which evolve into a political party, a political organization, which is something that we saw with the PLO, something that we saw, for example, in Colombia, with the FARC and the ELN and other organizations. And today you even have a president in Colombia, which is an which used to be a commander in the guerrilla forces.
Wow.
So this is usually the evolution, but Hezbollah was able to maintain its stronghold on the military level and in southern Lebanon while developing as a political party and entering parliament and actually impacting, for example, the decision of who will become the president of Lebanon. So when there are negotiations for the president of Lebanon, Hezbollah is taking part as a political party. It is involved in the proceedings, it is casting its votes and etc. But at the same time, it is a terror organization which controls the southern part of the very same state, which forms part of its apparatus. And in addition, Hezbollah is also involved in drug trafficking and illegal activities.
Mm.
So in this regard, Hezbollah is really a functional organization that has many faces or many operations, and it is very unique in its ability to maintain it for decades. Now, Israel, as you mentioned, has changed the situation in recent months. Hezbollah took a very significant blow in terms of its command and structure, command hierarchy, in terms of its general structure, in terms of its financing, in terms of its military capabilities. And indeed, we are facing an opportunity. But I think that without direct and significant cooperation between Israel and the Lebanese army and government, this opportunity will be missed. Because the Lebanese army on its own is unable to deal with Hezbollah. And
yes,
we are seeing now that Hezbollah is raising its head anew these days, and the Lebanese army is not really able to do something about it. So we will return once again to the understanding that Israel and Lebanon need to decide. Do we want to be good neighbors? Do we want to operate together in order to get rid of the forces which are standing in between our ability to work together, to flourish together? So only through direct cooperation can Lebanon deal with Hezbollah. But if hostilities will resume, maybe after a few months the situation can change. Maybe after a few more months of war, Lebanon will have the upper hand. But we're not there yet.
So how and how set up is Israel and Lebanon? Are Israel and Lebanon to cooperate economically, practically, in order to become, as you've said, good neighbors? Exist on any level on which to build?
Absolutely. I think that there is a basis for that, because at the end of the day, the territories which today form Israel and the territories around it, be that the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, be that Lebanon or Syria, be that Egypt, for many years, for hundreds of years, you had economic cooperation, you had security understanding, you had some form of a basis for a common ground to work together, which lasted for many years until the establishment of the State of Israel. So since the establishment of the State of Israel, many forms of cooperation between communities, between groups, between tribes existed, and the economies of the states in the Middle East, like any other region of the world, at the end of the day are intertwined, in the sense that they are geographically connected, in the sense that sometimes the same coin uses for several territories, and in the sense that the economies complement each other because of the relations they used to have in the past. So we have a basis to do it. And we have an opportunity now on several levels. We have an opportunity given the situation of Hezbollah, which you mentioned. We have an opportunity because Lebanon is now reorganizing as a state after some very hard years in which its central basis of authority was very weak. We have an opportunity now with the President Trump that appoints a Lebanese, a person of a Lebanese ethnicity as part of his cabinet. We have an opportunity that will not return, and an opportunity that we actually never had since the establishment of the State of Israel. I try to maintain optimistic. Finally, we need to note that in the field of agriculture, so water transfer or people that live from their village to to cultivate their projects and etc. This is also a good basis for cooperation that we are seeing, for example, in Jordan, that can serve as a pilot, or something to follow in Lebanon as well.
That is where we do need to leave it. Dr. Tal Imran is an associate professor at the Sfat Academic College, the academic coordinator of International Law Forum of Hebrew University. Thank you, as always.